Today we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Family. And families, as we know, are a blessing. I'm sure each one of us can think of some point in our lives where we had this great, profound moment or celebration with our families. However, family life has its challenges too. Even in the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, it had its challenges. Even though there were two of the three of them were sinless, and the third was a righteous man. But it's normal to have difficulties and challenges in family life. That in itself doesn't mean that anything is being done wrong. It just means that the members of the family, they have their differences and are different people. And it's an opportunity to grow in virtue, to grow in understanding each other, and to learn how to work together. The fact that Mary and Joseph left Jerusalem without Jesus doesn't mean that they were bad parents. Rather, it just means that they made a mistake. They may have had good reasons to believe that Jesus was with them in the caravan. But what about Jesus, though? Why did he let this happen? Well, everything that happens in Jesus' life is for a reason. The inclusion of this particular event in Scripture is also for a reason. God is trying to teach something. If we think about some of the details that we heard, it would point us to what he's trying to teach us. Recall that what we heard included Jerusalem, Passover, 3 days. Jesus is preparing Mary and us for his upcoming passion, death, and resurrection. About 21 years later, Jesus is celebrating the Passover with his disciples, and he's creating a new Passover. He's instituting the Eucharist in the very first Mass, which we often call the Last Supper. But then Jesus is lost in the sense of him dying on the cross. And his disciples were confused. Isn't he the Messiah? How is he supposed to be the Messiah if he's dead? Wasn't he supposed to save us from oppression? How's this supposed to work? And yet, 3 days later, Jesus is found again. He's raised from the dead. Yet his disciples were still confused. Even though he was raised from the dead, they didn't recognize him. They didn't understand what had happened. And that's much how Mary and Joseph were when they found Jesus. They were confused. They were anxious. And so Mary even asks him directly, like, why did you let this happen? And when we think about Jesus' response, it might seem kind of harsh or perhaps rude, but unfortunately, we're not told exactly how or in what tone or in what way Jesus is saying these words. So we should try to give him the benefit of the doubt, mostly because he's God, you know. So when Jesus says that, we should try to assume that he's saying these things with love and with compassion, that he's saying it with innocence. He said, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" That saying in itself is a little bit confusing, so it's understandable that Mary and Joseph didn't understand. But Jesus is using a Semitic technique of teaching. It's a teaching method where you pretty much just keep asking questions to help guide the person to the understanding you want them to learn. Jesus was using that same method with the teachers in the temple, asking them questions, guiding them, and teaching them. Mary called Joseph Jesus' father, and indeed, Joseph is Jesus' adoptive father. But in Jesus' response, he refers to God the Father as his father. And so he's reminding them that he's not just an ordinary boy. A more literal translation of the Greek, at the ending of Jesus' response, it would be in that of my father, rather than in my father's house. And I like the more literal translation better, because even though it does contain the same meaning, that Jesus was in the temple, which is the Father's house, it's also left open for another interpretation, because oftentimes Scripture has multiple layers to it, multiple levels of meaning. And that additional level of meaning, using the more literal translation, where Jesus says that, the that can mean the will of God the Father. And so, even there, he's pointing to his passion, death, and resurrection. because it was the Father's will that he would undergo those things in order to reconcile humanity back to himself. So Jesus being lost was for the sake of teaching. And this can be true for us as well. Sometimes Jesus may seem absent or missing or lost to us. And sometimes that when that happens to us, we don't need to freak out, because that's actually quite normal, that there are times where God seems distant. Likewise, there are times where God seems really close. And so sometimes when God seems really distant, it could be that he's trying to teach us something. For example, maybe Jesus is trying to teach us to love him more than the gifts that he gives us. If every time we went to our Lord in prayer, it was a phenomenal, joyous, unbelievable, overwhelmingly powerful, awesome experience, then we might cling to the experience and not to God. But if sometimes when we go to prayer, he refrains from giving us those gifts, then we learn to love him and the relationship and not the gifts. We learn to cling to the giver and not what he's given. And so sometimes God may seem distant because he might be trying to teach us something. And to learn what it is that he might be teaching us, we should follow Mary's example in our gospel passage. We should ponder these things in our hearts. We should reflect on them. We should pray about them to try to understand why these things have happened. However, God may seem distant for other reasons too. For example, he might seem distant if we stop being interested in him, if we stop seeking him, if we stop interacting with him, if we stop praying, then he might seem distant. I mean, just think about it. What would happen if you stopped seeing, visiting, talking to one of your friends? Would not that relationship begin to fade? Wouldn't it be weakened? Wouldn't the closeness that you once had be diminished? In fact, that would be the case. And so too is it with Jesus, that when we neglect seeking him out, when we lose interest in him, he can seem distant or lost. I know when I pray, and I pray as if the prayer is a task, something to be completed, something to work through quickly, then oftentimes I don't encounter God at all. I just finish and I move on to the next thing. But that's, in some ways, kind of a waste or a loss. Because every time we go to our Lord in prayer, it's an opportunity to encounter him, an opportunity to talk to him and to hear back from him. And so if we enter into prayer with that attitude of seeking him out, of being interested in what he has to say, then that opens us up to be able to encounter him. Jesus might also seem missing or absent or lost as the result of sin. Sin is an offense to God, and it damages or destroys our relationship with him. God resides within our souls from the moment of our baptism, provided that we avoid any serious sins. But when we commit serious sin, it's like throwing God out of our hearts and out of our souls, separating us from him. And so it makes sense that he would seem distant. So just as when we reject our friends, we seem distant from them, or we seem to have lost that relationship, so too it is with God. When we commit serious sins, we're separating ourselves from him. We're losing that relationship with him. Thankfully, Jesus being all merciful, he gives us the opportunity to be forgiven by being forgiven through the sacrament of reconciliation. That way we have the opportunity to be reconciled with him and overcome that choice of rejecting him, and instead being one with him again. Jesus can seem distant or lost for other reasons as well, but some of the common reasons that he can be lost or seem lost would be to teach us something, or it could be a lack of our own interest and failure on our part to seek him out, or it could be the result of sin. And if we improve our relationship with Jesus, then through that relationship with Jesus, we become better people and we'd be able to better relate to the other members in our family. And so let us, each and every one of us, reflect on these on these things this week. Let us consider why it may seem that sometimes in our lives that Jesus is distant or lost from us, and try to understand what might have happened and what action we should take. So if he's trying to teach us something, we should reflect on what that might be. And if we realize that we haven't really been seeking him out in prayer or in other ways through the sacraments, for example, then we should figure out what we can do differently moving forward in order to seek him out, in order to pursue him, in order to have that opportunity of encounter with him. And if we think that he might seem distant as a result of sin, then of course we have the sacrament of confession to have that barrier or obstacle healed and that relationship restored. So let us start this goal of understanding why Jesus might be absent or missing in our lives at times by reflecting on these things in the next moment of silence as we prepare ourselves to encounter our Lord in the most holy Eucharist.